Way to go. We're so glad you're here this morning for a family-style service. And I'm sure all the parents in the room and plenty others are wondering, how long will this sermon be? It's only going to be an hour, so I want to reassure you, you're just fine. No, we are so glad you're here today. If you have a Bible with you, I want to invite you to make your way over to Nehemiah. We'll be in Nehemiah chapter 6 and then in Nehemiah chapter 12. This Sunday is a very unique, special, and sacred day because for us here at Genesis Church, we are officially closing not just the end of a series as it relates to learning from the book of Nehemiah, but we are officially closing the final chapter here at this location, a facility that has been used by God to restore marriages, many of which those marriages are here today and certainly throughout our community, a place that has been used to bridge hope and bring healing, a place that has been used to bring prodigals back home and to introduce people to Jesus. There are people here this morning who started their relationship with Jesus in this facility. This has been a facility that has been used to invest in the next generation, whether it's children or whether it's students. It's certainly been a facility that has been used to proclaim the goodness and the glory of God. And for many of you, you started coming to Genesis Church within the last year or maybe in the last 2 years. But for still others of you, you have been here at this place for a long time. And whether you came this Sunday or last Sunday or 5 years ago or 10 years ago, we're so grateful for the privilege of doing life with you. Here's what I know to be true. A building is not the church. At the end of the day, a space like this is a gift and a privilege, but it is not to be confused with the people of God. And yet at the same time, buildings and spaces are deeply, deeply sacred. They're sacred because of the presence of God and because of the people of God. And when we look at this particular space, I think we can all say this has been a house that God has used to build us. In Psalm 127, verse 1, it says, "Unless the Lord builds a house, the builders labor over it in vain." What a powerful picture. Solomon is writing this, and you might feel like it seems like it's a proverb. Well, that's because Solomon is responsible for writing the Proverbs. Solomon knew something about building, by the way. His father, David, wanted to build a temple for God, a place of worship for the presence of God. And yet God did not allow David to build the temple. He did allow Solomon to build the temple. Solomon is described as the wisest man who ever lived. He built a spectacular temple. No expenses were too high for Solomon. Solomon's someone who knew something about the difference between building for the glory of God and building just for man's glory. He knew the difference between forcing something to happen and allowing God to form a people. It's why he wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit, "Unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor over it in vain." I stand here this morning with incredible confidence as I look back at the rich history of Genesis Church, knowing that God has been the one leading us, God has been the one forming us, God has been the one shaping us, God has been the one who has been building this house. I was looking back at various moments in our history. You know, this church started on the porch of some German immigrants who had a passion and desire to see the gospel shared in their local community. They desired to see a life-giving church. And out of their heart, in response to God's movement, this church started. I could take you back to so many dates. I'll take you back to just a few. There was 1948. I was working through some paperwork recently as we were preparing to move to a new location. I found this document that was sharing what happened in 1948. In 1948, this church wasn't called Genesis Church. It was called Alberta Gospel Tabernacle. And there was a North Campus and a South Campus in Alberta. They were innovative in 1948. They were ahead of the curve with multi-campus. And in 1948, they held one large tent meeting for them. There were 43 people who came that evening. And out of the 43 people who came, 14 people started new life in Jesus in 1948. I started to think, I wonder about their marriages and what happened. I wonder about their vocations and their relationship with their children and where maybe their children and their grandchildren are today because of the gospel going forward in 1948. There was 1990. 1990, a couple who was serving God in Africa relocated and sensed God's invitation to join with people here in this community. And in 1990, this small church, for a period of 5 years, I want you to just slow down and imagine this. For 5 years, they had an audacious goal. Some of you were there. An audacious goal. And in a five-year time period, they gave over $100,000 to world missions. $100,000 over a five-year time period to see the gospel advance, not just in their community, not just in their region, but all over the world. I would say, folks, that's a rich history. And there's 1993. Who can forget 1993? 1993 was when Whitney Houston came out with that song, I Will Always Love You. And I thought about singing a portion of it, but I will spare you of that today. 1993 was the dawn in such a spectacular way of the greatest basketball player of all time who played for the Chicago Bulls. It was the year of Michael Jordan. And if you went to a movie in 1993, you would go and you would see Jurassic Park. 1993, if you wanted gas, it would cost you a dollar. Movie tickets were $4. If you wanted a brand new car, you could spend $12,000. Take me back to 1993. But in 1993, this local church cared enough about their community that they pioneered something known as a family life center. It was a process. It was over a span of time. But it was a place where students and others could come and they could play volleyball. They could play basketball. It was a safe place for the community. And many students were impacted. Many people were introduced to Jesus at that time period. I'm standing here today because I was one of those. The reason why I have the privilege of getting to be a part of a wonderful leadership team is because this church boldly and fearlessly stepped forward into the future with faith, and they pioneered a new work. And here I am today because the gospel went forward in 1993. What about 2005? 2005 is really when this journey began here at this location. A really relatively small group of people, when you consider everything, took again a bold step of faith in many ways into an unknown future for a car dealership to be renovated. By the way, in the future, this will become a Nissan dealership. It will be returned to a car dealership. The person who is purchasing this, I asked them, because it'll be a Nissan dealership, I said, I would really like for our entire church family to get brand new Nissan cars and trucks. That didn't happen, but I just want you to know I asked, okay? But so many people's lives have been impacted here. God pioneered ministries like Marriage Encounter and Little Beginnings, and he brought wonderful pastors and leaders like Don Young and Clarence Hager and Greg Wood and Bo Smith, Mitchell Sims, Ryan May, John Grant, Kenny Heil, Victor Kane, Milton Forrest, Kathy Thrift, Steve Pelt, Nate Goodwin. I could just keep going on. My point is, God has been extremely generous to this church family. We have a rich history. But I thought about this. I could stand up here and tell you about our rich history, but I need to share with you that it always hasn't been an easy road. And in the last several years, this church family has struggled. Many of you have fought through those times of struggle. You anchored prayers, and with faithfulness, you invested into this church family. And God heard those prayers and he used them in strange ways. He used them in my life because in Easter of 2017, afterwards, when pastors are supposed to be high-fiving and lying really about the numbers of Easter, which pastors tend to do, I hate that. But anyway, it was a great Sunday, but God was starting to disrupt my life and return me home here on mission to join with you fine, wonderful people to see God write a new and fresh story. I remember coming to someone and saying to them, I really sense that God is inviting me to return back to South Alabama. I'm in San Diego. And they said to me these words, that might be a resume killer. I said to them a few things. First, I don't live for resumes. I live for the risen King. That's what I live for. I said to them, we tend to put periods in places. Maybe in your life, maybe someone has done this for you. You tend to put a period as if the story is over, it's closed, it's finished with. Maybe there was a time in this community when people thought of this church and they put a period and they thought that it was over, but our God loves to tell new and fresh stories. And wherever we put periods, God loves to put commas. He loves to write new stories. I shared with them that there is never a better choice a human being can make than to respond to the Spirit of God's work in their life. At any time and at any season, there is no human being who is too old and too young to follow Jesus. And then I unfriended them on Facebook. If you've been here over the past 6 months, you know it is clear. God is lovingly writing a wonderful resurrection story for His glory, for our joy, and for our community's good. Yes, this Sunday we say goodbye to a good friend, but next Sunday we say hello to a new chapter. We have a rich history, but I remind you, we have a bold and bright future together. On November the 4th, 2018, next Sunday we host our first service in our new facility. And God has done the miraculous and the wonderful. We will step into that facility completely debt-free. God is amazing. And in January of 2019, we will host a grand opening to our community at large. I cannot encourage you enough, by the way, to invite people. We had some folks over our house recently, and we were talking to them. They're not followers of Jesus, and they said they would come. But they said to me, they said, I'm intimidated. I said, don't worry, our church family is not that intimidating. They said, I don't know if I have a suit to wear. I said, I know the pastor. He's not wearing a suit. You'll be just fine. I can't wait to see the stories that God writes. As we finish well here, I want to bring us back to Nehemiah and always anchor us in God's unfailing word. If there's anything we see in Nehemiah is a man who finished well. You've been here for a little while. We've been in this series for a month. You know that Nehemiah was in a Persian palace and God interrupted his life and invited him to be sent on mission to rebuild in Jerusalem. He didn't understand everything, but he didn't allow his understanding to eclipse his obedience. He responded to what God has revealed. I always want to encourage you to respond to what God is revealing. And when he first hears the news, he prays for a series of months. He gets to Jerusalem, and we know that he anchors his life in prayer. It is this picture of when God gets ready to do a work through us, he's always going to start by doing a work in us. And after traveling 500 miles, he gathers a team. He starts to rebuild the walls, and in less than 2 months, it is completed. It's amazing to see what happens when the people of God are fully engaged. Nehemiah chapter 6. The wall was completed in 52 days. On the 25th day of the month, Elul, when all our enemies heard this, all the surrounding nations were intimidated and lost their confidence, for they realized that the task had been completed by the exceptional strategic leadership of Nehemiah. The task had been completed by the savviness of a very wise leadership team. Is that what it says? It says the task, the accomplished task, had been completed by our God. You have to remember, you study through Nehemiah, what you won't find are these rare healing moments, like God healing someone. You won't find these overt miracles, but what you do find is an ordinary man who's willing to listen to an extraordinary God and to step forward in faith. Nehemiah didn't just start well, he finished well. And finishing well is a great theme of Scripture. John chapter 19, verse 30, Jesus is on the cross. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." Then bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Paul has a similar type of tone in 2 Timothy chapter 4. "For I already have been poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is close. I have fought the good faith. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." God's not just interested in how we start. God is interested in how we finish. I don't know of a better thing to be said about a human being than they finished well. They finished well in their careers. They finished well in their relationships. They finished well when it comes to following Jesus. They heard, "Good and faithful servant, well done." In some ways, it doesn't matter how you start, but it certainly matters how you finish. So Nehemiah finishes this kingdom assignment in chapter 6. In chapter 7 to chapter 11, he moves from building the walls to building the people. They start to examine their life. They reflect. They anchor their life on God's word. And when we get to chapter 12, they finish well by expressing gratitude and by celebrating through giving offerings and singing worship songs. Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 27. "At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sent for the Levites wherever they lived and brought them to Jerusalem to celebrate the joyous dedication with thanksgiving and singing accompanied by cymbals, harps, and lyres." Look at Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 43. "On that day, they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced because God had given them great joy." Don't you love it when God gives us joy and we don't manufacture it? "The women and children also celebrated, and Jerusalem's rejoicing was heard far away." They finished well. I received a phone call this week from someone who lives in a different state, and a long time ago they were part of this church family. It's not that I know them extremely well, but they called to say, "Can you tell me the story of what God is doing?" And so I did the best that I could. And then they ended by saying, "Why do you think that is?" And I simply said to them what I really, truly believe in my heart. I don't have any other explanation outside of the goodness of God and the favor of God. And I'm grateful. I don't have to understand it fully to celebrate it fully. I am so glad for how God is meeting us right here and right now. And I'm so glad for our future ahead. So here's what we're going to do this morning. I want to invite a few people up who are going to join me on this stage, and we'll put out some chairs. So if you were asked to come on up, please join me at this time. There are a few people who in May sat here, and we said we would explore together what it might look like to discover if God was leading us into a new and fresh start. And I invited them up because I want you to hear how God has been moving in this space over the years. I think it's fitting for us, as we have learned from God's word, that finishing well has to do with expressing gratitude and celebrating together, and we are going to do that. But I want us to just take a moment and say, "God, we thank you for meeting us in this way." And so this wonderful group of people are joining us. I'm so thankful for each and every one of them. They recognize from our elder board investing in our next generation, to significant pieces of history here at our church, to worship. Can we just take a moment, by the way? They have served so faithfully. We're so grateful for the way that you serve this church. So thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, good morning. Check, check. Hey, is it on? I'm Milton Forrest. If I hadn't met you, I'd love to. I usually hide behind the sound booth over there because I actually do not like being up here at all. So this morning, Sean asked us to briefly share, because there's quite a few of us, one of our best memories of being here in this building, which I've been here 7 or 8 years, and that's all I've ever been was this building. I didn't come from Alberta, so this is all I know. I'm not sad to leave this building. I'm sad to leave this spot. This was a car dealership, not a church, and it's been a struggle ever since to make it work as a church. So we've been blessed to be able to do what we're fixing to do, largely in part to Sean Kennedy right there, spearheaded this and just really deserves appreciation. So other than baptizing two of my children here, my fondest memory is actually our first adventure house. We had done Trunk or Treat a couple years. It did pretty good. And Kathy said, hey, we're going to go all out. We're going to do this entire church. We're going to do it right. Little did we know God had a different plan for us. It rained that night, and Foley came here. They had over 800 names, I believe. And, I had a game that you rung up. Actually, it was a cornhole, half of it. I chased stuffed animals or whatever we were throwing for about 4 hours, and it was a real blessing. But just to see all these people that came to Genesis, and you know, it was for Halloween, and that's not a Christian holiday, and all these non-believers, you know, came because frankly there was not much to do outside because of the rain. So we were able to minister to all these non-believers and take a holiday that's, I don't know if satanic's the word, but it's, you know, nothing to do with Christianity. And we were able to show them that, you know, being a Christian can be fun too, and you can have fun in a bunch of different ways. And it just really blessed me to be a part of that. Yeah, that's it.
I guess I'm up. One of my memories, it has to do whenever we first got over here, we were here probably 4 or 5 years, and it was Pastor Don was our first pastor, and that's the man Sean had mentioned about being a missionary and getting the group over in Alberta to raise all those funds, $100,000. And what it was, Don had been a missionary for 15 years or whatever in Africa. So whenever we'd have mission conference, we would play an African beat and have a march offering and come up dancing in the aisles and all kinds, because the Africans know how to get the move on. And the beats that we were playing, you'd get the move on. So it was big celebrations during the mission conference. Well, Don always had these, it was his second term here, and when he come back, he negotiated that he could go on these mission trips every year, whatever. He'd already had them lined up, and he went to China on a missions trip, and he came back a couple weeks later. He announced, you know, God's called me out of here. He's called me into a prayer ministry, and we're going to take it overseas. And you know, and so that was a shock, and it was, you know, it looked like it could be detrimental, because Don was he was a big part of what was going on, and he was our lead pastor. But we decided, well, we're going to honor God, what God wants, you know, as a leadership team. We're going to honor what God wants, and we're going to honor and bless him and his wife and commission him out and send him off. So we had this big celebration that day going on. Is it better than most of the mission conferences? Mitchell Sims probably was heading up to music, but we had dancing around the aisle and everything. A big celebration. But what he read in the Bible a little bit ago is about, you know, you could kind of imagine what they were doing back then in the Israelites' time. And that was a pivotal and monumental time for this church, really. I mean, and that was a sacrifice. And there's been, and it was costly over the last 8 or 10 years. But if we fast forward that 8 or 10 years into what happened where Don went, he has met thousands of pastors overseas with a college of prayer ministry. And what they do about once a quarter, they get kind of have a prayer retreat for these pastors and that are, you know, local pastors that have been, actually his church has been started through missions over the years. So these local pastors over there, they come out of the ministry to these prayer retreats first time, and some of them are defeated, discouraged, beat down, ready to give it up. But they have this prayer time, prayer retreat, and get them actually meet needs there and overcome the enemy, and they give them the power they can plug into it by putting prayer first of the kingdom of God. And there's been a lot. You're talking about pastors now, and they're all of them are flock, you know, over a flock. So there's untold what the dividends have been paid over that sacrifice, and I just remember that day. It was a blessed day. Thank you.
If anybody ever has a question about the history of this church, it was started on his grandpa's porch.
Yeah.
He's been there.
We may can't tell Sean no more. He hasn't been studying it.
Yeah, and I remember Krista and I were preparing to move down here about 12 years ago. And we moved here 11 and a half years ago. And when we were preparing to move down here, I remember telling her, we're not going to go to the family church. Your great-grandfather started that. I don't want to be a part of the family church. And lo and behold, when we got here, this is where God had us. I wanted to do something completely selfish for a moment, though, because I want to remember this moment. I want to remember what God has done in this place. So if you'll bear with me, I'm going to try to get as many of you in here as we can. All right, there we go. A little levity, but God brought Krista and I here 11 and a half years ago, and we'd been in Georgia for about 5 years, and I grew up in the city, and I was pastoring in a rural Georgia town, and I was a fish out of water, and it was a tough 4.5, 5 years. And then we had Kendall, and we didn't know that when God was going to bless us with our first child, that some of the challenges and obstacles were going to come that we had never anticipated. We didn't think we would have a kid with one hand. We didn't think we'd have a kid that had respiratory issues and all of those issues. And I remember we were incredibly humbled and broken through that experience. And when we arrived here, we were just broken. I didn't want to be here because this was the family church. Chris and I got married in the other facility. It started on great-grandfather's front porch, late 1920-ish. There's a lot of rich history here. But I was convinced when we were sent here, I never wanted to end up in Alabama. It was a resume killer, like Sean talked about. But God made it clear that we were supposed to come here for church planting and church strengthening. And that was what I wanted to be a part of. I never imagined it would be a part of this church. But when God made it apparent to us, one of the moments that stands out the most to me was I agreed, okay, we're going to go to Genesis a couple Sundays, and then we'll start looking for where we're going to plant a church or where home is. And we came, and it was probably the second Sunday there was a concert here. And it was a group of ladies, and one of the ladies had one hand. We'd never met anybody like Kendall, who was born like Kendall. And it was one of those moments where it was healing, and it was beautiful. Because I thought I had it all together. Later, Krista made it apparent to me I didn't. But it was one of those moments where God used that. We were here for 2 Sundays, and I was like, no, we're not going to be here. And I saw more healing in my wife that second Sunday here. And it became home. And this became our community. And it became more than just community. It became family. And it's been amazing. My kids met Jesus in this facility. My kids were baptized in this facility. I've seen God heal people. I've seen people confess Christ for the first time. It's been an amazing journey. And while I'm so grateful for that and so grateful for everything that has happened here, I cannot share how excited I am about what God has in store for us next at the new location. So I'm looking forward to it. This is a place, but as we've gone through this whole conversation as to would we even consider moving, it's not about where we're called to, it's about who we're called to. And I'm looking forward to meeting more of those to whom we are called as a church.
I am Kathy Thrift, I direct Children's Ministries here, and I was brought to this church through a ministry called Marriage Encounter in 2004. And it was when we were still in Alberta. And when Sean asked me to think of one thing, I'm like, oh, there's been Vacation Bible Schools, there's been Marriage Encounter, there's been Little Beginnings, there's so many things. What is it? And so I just really prayed about this, and God answered. Recently, a young lady has come back and been reacquainted to our family, and I haven't seen her in years. I met this little girl, her name was Savannah, not mine, when she was probably 2.5, 3 years old. And she was in the preschool ministry Sunday mornings at Alberta Alliance, which is now Genesis. She grew up in kids ministry here. I had her in preschool classes, I had her in kids church. We went to summer camps together. We did Vacation Bible School together. And she came to know Jesus as her Lord and Savior. And my biggest, fondest memory here, one of them, is the day that I had the privilege and honor to come up on this stage and baptize this girl. And that made me think, wow, all of the lives that I've come in contact, God has put in my place, in front of me here, whether it was in kids' church on Sunday, whether it was kids coming for Vacation Bible School, whether it was the hundreds and hundreds of children and families that I've had the privilege and honor to get to know through Little Beginnings Preschool, sharing Jesus with them here has been amazing. And I can't wait to share Jesus with them as we move forward in this new facility that God has given us. So.
I'm Victor Kane. My wife, Lois, is here with me. We've came to this church in August of 2001. Then, of course, we were in Alberta. And we found something that is proof that this is an accepting church. They accepted us because we came from Ohio, and you know, that wasn't very accepted as well. But you know, God has been good to us. We've had the privilege, I've had the privilege of serving in some form of leadership, I guess, in some ways. God has helped me, and it's been a joy, a challenge. But you know, to know that you're accepted, I was asked to sign for the transfer to this building, John Grant and myself. What a privilege, an outsider. And now I've been asked to be back on the board again, and God has blessed. And you know, what really stands out to me is one memory I'd like to share with you. We were without a lead pastor. There were four of us serving as elders: Steve Pruitt, Jimmy Johnson, Milton, and myself. And we gathered and prayed, and we had time together. And those were some of the most precious times, because we were looking for God to direct. And in time, he made things clear to us, especially when we found out that Sean and Rebecca were considering moving to Alabama. Back to Alabama. And in time, clarity came. We called the district superintendent. Well, I don't remember if we even had to call him, but that we did notify that we definitely wanted Sean and Rebecca to join us as our lead pastor. And then it happened. And God has continued to work, and we're expecting the best is yet to come because He is in control. It's His work that's doing it. It's not ours. But we have to remember one thing. The purpose of the church is to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no other purpose. Everything else stems from that, and that's why we want to continue.
Follow that, right?
My name is Daniel Gregory. I help out with the music, as you've already seen. But following along the same lines of acceptance, as Victor said, we moved down, I guess it's been about 4 years ago, from northern Alabama, up in the Anniston-Oxford area. And we've been here for about 3.5 years. And I was involved with another church there doing music, and have been for a while at a couple of different churches. But one kind of something that's daunting when you decide to go to a new church or find a new church and know that you want to be involved in a certain ministry like music is, you know, will you be accepted? Will they be open to this? But I remember Chris is one of the first people that I met here, worship leading at the time. And when we kind of started having those conversations, it was just very easy to walk into. You didn't know if it was going to be a closed group that said, you know, we'll talk about it later. But it was just a very welcoming experience, very easy to walk into. And I know moving to this new facility with new opportunities, we're going to see a lot more of that with people coming in saying, hey, I'm skilled here, I'm talented here. But that's just one of the, you know, the memories that sticks out in my head is just how open everybody was and accepting just right off the bat. And now I guess driving 5 minutes to the new facility other than 15 minutes here, I'll think about that 10 minutes that I won't be driving in the future.
My name is Chris Schreiber, and I also help with the music. What Dan didn't tell you was that I begged him to come play. He sang once, and we were done. So much of what's been said resonates. My wife and I moved here from Oklahoma in 2012. We looked at 4 or 5 different churches, and nothing fit. We were praying, we were looking, and this church was not even on the radar. We didn't know what Genesis was, you know. And we looked it up. We said, okay. And we came. And like Dan said, it was so accepting. If not the first week, definitely by the second week, we knew this was where we were supposed to be. And as we've gone forward, these opportunities to continue to serve have just opened up. Sometimes when I was looking for them, and sometimes when I missed a meeting and came in the next week and got told that I was now serving. But it's really been such a blessing. There's no one specific memory. What makes this place special and what I'm excited about going forward is the people that are in this church. As a worship team this morning, we did something similar to this. And what I told them is it's everybody. But I'm going to be a little selfish. I'm going to tell you, it's the people that we get to worship and pray and work with week in and week out. And the stuff that happens behind the scenes every single week, and the people that are just blood, sweat, and tears through this. I think I mentioned this when Sean was out a couple weeks ago and I preached. I was not a proponent of moving this building at all. I thought, why would we want to leave a room with padded walls? No, why would we want to leave what's about to become the busiest intersection in Baldwin County? This intersection right here at 59 and 20 is it. How could you get more street traffic than that? Why would God ever want us to move away from that? But it became so clear. I mean, the elders did this, I did this. Said, God, shut the door. If you want it, shut the door. The doors never shut. They just kept on opening up. And then some of the doors that would have left us to stay here were shutting down. And so, what I'm most excited about is that this is not the church. The stage, this sound system with all its gremlins, and I know most of them. It's the people, and the people are just moving to a different location. So that's what I'm excited about.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Will you stand with me this morning? I'm going to invite the worship team to lead us, and we are going to celebrate through the giving of offerings this morning and getting to sing together. I want to remind you, if you're new here with us, let this service be a gift to you. We certainly are so grateful that you're here. If you call this place home, we want to encourage you to faithfully and generously give to what God is doing in this place. And then let's celebrate. Now, I wanted to take a moment and to hear some of the stories that make up this space and how God has been at work. And I'm truly excited for what he will do. Can we take one more moment as we enter into worshiping together through song? I will pray for us. We'll have the team come up for offering and we will celebrate. But can we stop one more time and just simply say, using our hands, God, we are so grateful for the way you met us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the way that you met us in this place. Thank you for the people you brought. Thank you for the missionaries you've sent. Thank you for the people who have been a steady stream of encouragement. Thank you for the families that you have formed, the marriages that you have restored. Thank you for the students and the children that you have driven a deep anchor for the gospel in this place. Thank you for bringing talented and gifted musicians and so many other people to make up what this place is. This is the house that has built us, Lord. And we are moving to turn our heart to welcoming home a new chapter. So as we sing this morning, as we give, I pray we do not miss in this place a last time to gather together and worship, that we worship with a heart of freedom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.